My name is Ashley, and this is An Album a Day, an English language podcast promoting commentary on South Korean pop music. This podcast covers mainstream, indie, and some underground artists within the scene and provides both factual and opinionated K-pop commentary. The biggest benefit to sharing my thoughts this way is that it will hopefully expose you to more great music and exploration of your own. Kim Namjoon, known professionally as RM, we have previously even known him before that as Rap Monster, the South Korean leader, rapper, record producer, singer, songwriter, resident English speaker for BTS. Recently, within a matter of minutes ago, released his first solo album. Now, those of you who have been rocking with him and or his group for quite some time, you might be like, wait a minute, come on now. He's done solo stuff before. Indeed, he has. He released his first solo mixtape in 2015, and it was hot fire. And he did work before that, but it was hot fire. And then he followed that up with another mixtape that came out in 2018. But this is a very different thing. It's a super different thing. He's already done so much, but this is fully and formally his introduction as a solo artist with a full body of work. And it's a big body. It's robust. It's one of my favorite words. Ain't that right, Nugget? She has rolled up to get comfortable for this. This solo debut is huge. It's really genuinely a big thing, and it's called Indigo. It's just over a half hour, and in his own way, it's his reflection of a decade of his life that he's committed both publicly and privately to us, the consumers, us, the lovers of music. And I'm gonna get into it. Now, this was not anticipated whatsoever that I'd be doing anything like this, but come on now. This has got to be done. This is by far one of the most highly anticipated solo bodies of work in quite some time in South Korea and in music in general. And he's got some big names on here. He touched a lot of realms in terms of working with different producers and features and whatnot. We're gonna get into it. We're gonna get into it. Here we go. The album has 10 tracks, and the first one is Yoon, which features Erykah Badu. I can't even believe I'm saying that. It was enough. Oh my god, what was that? A decade ago, it was enough a decade ago saying G-Dragon featuring Missy Elliott. It's just insane. But this, Yoon, is the starting track. It was written by RM, and let's just off top, every single track is written by him. There's no reason to even wonder. He has his hand on everything. There are other contributing writers, but paramount is him. With this song, the word Yoon, which I feel like I'm pronouncing incorrectly, but the Hangul of it is Yoon. I'm just saying it a little incorrect. So Yoon, you can think of it as Y-U-N-E for you English speakers, or if you need it to be a little bit more phonetic for you, Y-O-U-N, Yoon, or Y-O-O-N, it just work with me. I'm getting somewhere with it. There's other people with the name Yoon, like Sanha and Astro and whatnot. But nonetheless, Yoon is a surname, a family name in Korean, and its meaning is governor. So what I'm gleaming from this before even listening to it is he's talking about one's governance, self-governance. Then we listen to the song, it comes on in a way that I did not expect whatsoever. I'm thinking we about to come out the gate just fucking bopping with all sincerity. I'm like, it's RM. It's got to be some hip hop to this somewhere. But he doesn't start with that. He does not. This is a very a very refreshing track in terms of sound, despite the fact that it's a few F-bombs dropped in the lyrics. The best thing I could do is compare it to the feeling of sitting under a ceiling fan on a cool autumn night, just giving you an actual feeling to what it is you're experiencing. I want to make it a little bit more tactile than that. Let me see if I'm... I don't think that's the right spelling of this word. Yeah, it's not. That's not the right spelling of it. Nonetheless, where I was going with this is it feels, literally feels, like you are ingesting something refreshing, something that's calming. What he's guiding you through in the lyrics is just reflection. And let's back up just a little bit more. He's already revealed in other interviews that he feels like this album is the conclusion of his 20s, not just Korean age numerically, but really closing the chapter of the first decade of adulthood. And it feels as if Yoon is talking about him preparing himself for the governance of himself as he was getting ready to pursue what it is that he is now. So it doesn't feel like to me, based on the lyrics, that he is the RM we know him to be. This sounds like him sitting outside in Seoul one night, looking up at the stars, thinking about the things that his family has told him, that other influential men in his life and other people of meaning have told him about his aspirations and his inclinations towards artistry and things of that sort. I wanted Erica to rap. That was where my expectation was, because it would be unexpected. But she hit the chorus with English. Nothing wrong with that. It's very, very laid back. Her chorus is saying, "You keep the silence, for you do something. You be a human till the death of you." And there's an interview that RM did for NME, and he said he wanted her to be a part of this because he felt that her life experience would make what she's conveying in those words more convincing. So let me give you a quote. He says, quote, "If I sing the hook, I thought it wouldn't be that convincing because I'm too young to preach or tell people to be somebody. With Erica, it can be convincing because she has her own narrative through her life, and she has a castle. She's living in her own kingdom. She has nothing to do with the hype or the virility and the noise, but everybody knows her and respects her," end quote. Artistically, yes. Social media wise and outlooks, not so much sometimes, but we're not here to commentate on that. We're here to commentate on the music, and the song is calming and the lyrics are very interesting, and you have to be careful with the translations of it because you can literally translate it and get certain word usage and things, or you can dive a little bit deeper. And I said that wrong. You can passively translate it, use an online translator like Google Translates and get a sense of what the words are meaning. But if you actually go and you seek out a Korean translating site such as Papago on Naver, I mean, come on now, Naver is the Google of Korea, and use that, or you go on Genius. And we love Genius over here, especially Genius Korea. That team, that squad is real to us over here at A3 Day Podcast. But taking the time to really look at the lyrics and the breakdown, there is some poeticness to it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's worth reading before you jump into looking at perhaps a YouTube video translation of it. It might not do the justice that you need it to do for the song. I don't necessarily know if I would deep dive into listening to this one again. It's reflective, and I'm at a point right now where I don't want to reflect. So I'll keep it in my back pocket for times where I need to have a moment to reset myself. Same thing that I do with August D's Dream, which that is the only lyric to the song. I'm very interested in knowing what is sampled and or what conversation was used in this track for its intro and its outro. I also want to know who was driving recklessly out in the parking lot. Y'all, if you knew what time it was in the morning, because I'm trying to be up to watch his tiny desk. I'm going to let them do them and we'll get on to the next. Okay, all right. Maybe it was a good thing that they was cutting up across the street in the parking lot, peeling off and whatnot, because there's arrogance that goes into the blind madness of being reckless behind the wheel. And such is so with Still Life with Anderson .Paak. It's the second track on the album. And this was the one I had the most anticipation for. Really, really, really eager to hear this one, because in my mind, I had it made up that it would be live drums and, you know, Anderson .Paak just going ham with some interesting cadences and all of that. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. What it did deliver, however, is RM the persona. It's a very braggadocious song. If you don't know what the word braggadocious means, I really honestly didn't need to use it, but I can't help myself. My vocabulary is stupid big within my head, and sometimes I use the words correctly and sometimes I don't. This time I am. Braggadocious is just a really informal way of saying somebody is arrogant AF. Bragging out their ass. And that's what this song is doing. It's the persona of RM, the performer, the artist. And he jets off on the second verse of this in terms of his rap. But ultimately, he's letting everyone know that he's still life. But I feel like there's a entendre there, or a wordplay of some sort. I'm still life. STILL, still life. I feel like that's him saying, you know, I am the life, I am the shit compared to what y'all got going on. Like, I wake up and I piss excellence. Then it's also I'm still life. I'm still living. I'm still experiencing things. Although I'm on a different level than y'all, I really and truly am. I am still just a regular ass human. I'm still just trying to live. He talks about things like being entitled, his life being on display. The past is gone. The future is unclear, which, I mean, that is true for all artists. But consumers and major fans of BTS know that the gentlemen are in an interesting space at this time. And some of these songs have been revealed to have been worked on at minimum 2 years ago. So things were very different for them at that point in time. He mentions wanting to escape the frame of this canvas. So he's leaning further into him being a piece of art, his work, his behaviors, his outlook as art. And I just think that's really, really dope. But then he get into the second verse and he just jet the fuck off on us. Like, I buy time with money. Every day is my day one. Like, I wish every day is my, oh, here we go again. But for him, he look at it as, yeah, this is a day of new opportunity. I can do what I want. Like, I have no reason to go to Gangnam because there's nothing there that I need to buy. I already got it. Like, it's just a flex. It's so much of a flex. And it's entertaining because he can flex all he want. But listening to this, it almost feels like he's trying to remind himself that he can do all of these things, and it's got some quality to it and whatnot, and it's not as superficial as it actually in fact is. I wonder what other people are going to think of when they think of this song and how they pick it apart. The chorus is simple enough. It'll be stuck in my head for a while. I'm still alive. I'm still alive. Like, it's nothing complex about it, and it shouldn't be. He picked somebody to make the chorus fun, and it is. I think this song will be with me for a moment. I feel like I want to pick it apart a little bit more. The artistic expression of it. It's really, really cool. It's cool. All right, this is what I was expecting. This is what I was waiting for. Track 3, All Day, featuring Tablo of Epic High, who is, you know, a story all on his own, Mr. Daniel Lee. It brings exactly what I was expecting. Now, on Still Life, RM does snap for a moment in his rap delivery, but this feels like classic BTS RM, and I really feel that. And Tableau just went in on this. I don't know what else to tell y'all. It feels good. It's decent energy. It's produced by P-Dawg, and for those of us who are acclimated to the music and style choices of BTS and Big Hit before it turned into Hype, we're very familiar with what P-Dawg does consistently in terms of his production style. Kang Kyo-won is really consistent with his production and his composition with BTS. He's one of their most trusted long-term collaborators. He's also worked with Jokwan, which, if we go way back in the history of A3 Day, we are looking at 2 a.m. So that was quite some time ago. That's the leader of that ballet group. So P-Dawg's pen and production style and just his ear for music in general are undefeated. So this is a very fun, decent tempoed song. The lyrics are, what would I, oh, there's Nugget. the lyrics are just as energetic as well and reflective. Imagine that you, okay, we started, what was my description? That he was like sitting outside at night, looking up at the stars and soul and whatnot and contemplating what life could be doing. Well, this is him, haru, day after day, sitting in the house, not necessarily experiencing anything particularly unique. And the chorus is digging into that, like, okay, I'm digging all day. Okay, I'm finding real me. Okay, I'm singing all day. Okay, all day. It's just the existence of being. And in that solace, the joy of simplicity, like, okay, cool. I'm watching this. I see the nice dancers and nice clothes. And all of this shit is just a habit at this point. I don't really care. But in the process of me not caring, like, I'm identifying what matters to me, what doesn't matter to me. RM kicks off the verse, the song, and Tableau has the second verse, and he delivers. It's a little bit interesting in terms of the lyrical choices. Cadence-wise, it's dope. It sounds very pleasurable on the ears, and you have to remember that the English structure of communication is not the same in terms of how sentence structure is in Hangul. So it might not necessarily play in a way that makes a lot of sense. But again, take it from the mindset of you just laying out on your sofa in the middle of the day. Think about it in summer when you used to not have to go to school for the majority of us. Some of us are in year-round school. And you're just like, ugh, I don't even know what's going on. Like, ugh. That's that's how it feels. There's a quick little moment where he says, we got dynamite in our DNA, which is obviously a wordplay on BTS's work. But again, it just feels good. I feel like I'm going to have this song stuck in my head more than I assumed I would. It feels really good. I just wish I had something a little bit more substantial to give you in terms of context with an explanation. You want to feel good, listen to All Day. I wonder about this song because Kim Sa-wol, she's a songwriter as well as a guitarist. And I wonder if it's her playing guitar in this song. She's a part of a duo. Both surnames are Kim, but it's Kim Sa-wol and Kim Hae-won. And she debuted 2014. And she's a Daegu girl. And y'all know Daegu is super special to my heart. But their genre, is folk music. I don't have any context to how her and RM's path crossed. Perhaps maybe when they were both in attendance at the Mama Awards. I hate saying that because it's not correct. Mama is named Mama because the A is for awards. But that's not the right award anyway. Maybe they met during the 2015 Korean Music Awards. perhaps, because, I mean, she debuted a year after Beatus, and by this point in time, 2015, they were starting to definitely get some attention going, if you know what I mean. People were no longer just sleeping on them and having weird assumptions about whether or not they were going to make the distance with their music and things. So perhaps they heard of each other then, or that may have had absolutely nothing to do with it whatsoever. And the diversity of the music that these gentlemen consume, particularly RM and how he looks at all of this as art, then he just gravitated towards a lovely voice. The song has nothing but the guitar and their vocals. He starts singing and she comes in with the second verse, and then they harmonize on the way out. I mean, they also do the chorus together, but harmonize on their way out. And it feels so short. It feels like this song is over way too quickly. But I also feel like if it went any longer, it would be unnecessary. The theme of this particular song, Forgetful, and it's missing the E. At this point in time, RM was 26 when he wrote it, perhaps 25 U.S. age, but Asian age, he was 26 when he wrote it. And in the first verse, he's like, you know, I keep forgetting about yesterday. I don't know what today is either. I keep forgetting the me of yesterday. I'm only 26. Why can't I remember? And at this point in time, things were really picking up for both him and his band, and responsibilities were increasing. And I understand that this is saying, I keep forgetting about yesterday. And that literally could just mean 24 to 48 hours prior. Because, you know, when you're touring and you're appearing on TV shows and you're recording videos and you're doing albums and all of this, it can turn into a blur. But I do believe it's more so the yesterday of his youth. And when things are really going at top speed, you can forget just the simple things like, what does grass smell like? With all of us being online so much, we get a lot of moments where you'll see people talk about, oh, you need to go outside and touch grass. Can you imagine that the time where your peers would be in university and or starting their first jobs if they weren't already working in high school? Some of your male friends are enlisting and whatnot, and you're having an astronomically different experience from them. You can't go out and just touch grass anymore. Everybody knows your name. Everybody knows your face. Your entire country is fully aware of who you are. And just in a matter of years later, the entire world, the innocence of youth is, it's gone. And this isn't the only artist we have heard this expressed with and from, but it's just a lot to process. And there's a very sweet, gentle tone to this, but it's sad, and kind of put me in an interesting place, because I'm not that much older than these young men. I'm not, but the things I was experiencing in my 20s and what I was going through at I'm only 26, I can't remember a lot of yesterday either. And currently today looks extremely different. So in the chorus, they mention with numerous thorns, the morning that comes and goes in my own way, I am anesthetizing myself. Why did I have such a hard time saying that? But the definition of that is to be cut off from feeling something. Anesthesia, when you are in the doctor's office, is to literally deprive you of feeling or the awareness of what's going on. And quite possibly at this point in his life, he felt like he had to emotionally cut himself off, stunt his foundational growth, if you will, in order to press on and move forward. And I just, that's rough. That's intimacy in lyricism that I didn't necessarily anticipate. And that's a fault of my own. This man made it real clear that this album is going to be about him reflecting on what life was and how he interpreted this experience in time. So this one hurt. Listening to this one actually hurt. Shit, this is by far my favorite track on the album. This bad boy rides. The production on Closer feels so nice. I keep referencing feeling so much. This is the fifth freaking time, the fifth track. This album really, really leans into an emotional reaction. It's very physical, but this feels so good. You have Paul Blanco on it, who is just out here in the K-R&B hip-hop scene, really making a name for himself. He's a Canadian cat. Young dude. I think he's 24, 20. Let's not guess. Let's grab Google. We're just going to go ahead and just check right quick, because I don't want to assume. The computer is right here. Excuse me. Okay, he's 25. The kid got... he's got a tone to him. It's just really good. It's just really, really good. And he did what needed to be done on this. Had the right pitch, said what needed to be said, threw a little bit of North American slang in it, if you will. Pulling what is happening with my existence, pulling Mahalia on this. Mahalia Burkmeier is a UK artist, and she is definitely one to watch. I don't know specifically where in the UK. You can't just lump everybody up and be like, yeah, from the UK. People rep their cities and their locations. But most of us found out about her in 2017. Not to say she wasn't around before that, but she had a performance of Sober. And that was on the YouTube channel Colors, which if you do not know about that channel, you need to get with it. I think they changed their name, but you can go ahead and call it Colors, and that's good enough. You'll see people with the solid background and just them in the mic, and they just rocking. Doja Cat been on there. Mac DeMarco. Freaking Dean. I know this ain't got nothing to do with him, but like, Dean, come back. Okay, but... so he's got some nice features on this. Mahalia is holding down the chorus for the most part with little input from the rest of them. It's not even necessary. RM is talking at first, initially, not gonna hold you. At first, I thought he was talking about the context of like him in proximity to his fans, those who he loves, you know, the most. Because the chorus starts off with, I get this feeling sometimes I can't get close enough to you. I feel it most in the nighttime, even though that's when I'm closest to you. If I could be under your skin closer than we've ever been, we'd be closer than we've ever been. And I like that. I just like that. I'm like, oh, in the nighttime, like that's when concerts happen. Oh, it must be about us. And then you start listening a little bit more. And he talking about don't like, baby, why you floating? I want to lock you up in my sight. I see you in red, blue, green. I love that damn line. I see you in primary colors. Like, I see you as essential. Oh, that might not be what he means, but that's how I interpret it. I keep you right next to me, only just in my dream. I see you in red, blue, green. Don't wake me up from my sleep. I think I'm losing my grip. Everything off the beam. Why you showed up in my life like this so sudden? Oh, God, no. You got a panic, boy, to whoever she is. I love it. Then Paul Blanco come through and just lay it on you with the R&B singing, the hip-hop singing that everybody and their mama does. And I don't know, maybe I'll expound one day on how that trend has destroyed the assumption of what R&B is. Story for another day. But this is just, it's a nice little, girl, why you sitting on the other side of my life? Come over here kind of thing. And I like it. I like it. It's assertive in a very attractive way, without it being too needy clingy. I just like it. All right, look at the time. I realize that I'm speaking so slowly on this, so I'm gonna try to speed this up, because again, this is early in the day and y'all will never get through this review. I can't believe this is over 25 minutes. We start to get into the conclusion of the album, and quite honestly, I feel like the standout track for me would be Wildflower, which is the 9th out of 10. I feel like it ends on a good note. He didn't give us anything that was too heavy on the hip-hop side. He definitely wanted to show us different facets of himself, and I value that. I completely value that, because if he would have just banged our brains out with nothing but hip-hop, what difference would it be? What would be something uniquely, inherently different to what we already experienced through his work leading his group? It's a good pace. You're looking at an album that's just over 30 minutes, and it feels experimental in some tracks. Like Lonely is interesting. Change Part 2, the rhythm of that is unexpected, but it's a good transition. There's nothing more important than layering an album the right way. And this does that. Ooh, my voice is getting extra raspy. So let's just wrap this up. My hope is that it doesn't take forever for y'all to get this. That will really suck if this end up being super retroactive. But I give this a 4 out of 5. I give it a 4 out of 5 because it is certainly something unexpected and definitely something that was worth anticipating. But I feel like there was more story that he could give. That's the consumer side. Maybe bump it up to a 4.5 because this man has given us all the shit that he can possibly give us at this point. That there's really nothing else. Like, he's gonna have to not do music for a while and live life in order to give us something else. Same as such with the rest of the group. So let's alter that to a 4.5. I won't give it absolute perfection because he could have went ham for us. He could have. You could have met at least a sliver of that expectation of wanting something hip-hop. But I full-fledged get the necessity of showing the other sides of who and what you are. I truly do. This could be isolating for younger consumers, younger fans of BTS. And when I say younger, I'm not referring to age. I'm referring to the time in which they've been exposed to their music, where they may have came in 2017, or even 2019 for that matter, and they're used to a certain style, a certain delivery, certain sound and aesthetic, that they don't necessarily go back in time to the older things to get the full breadth of how much he's evolved. So that's where I place it. It's smooth, though. I do foresee myself listening to this for a while. I have a tendency after I review something to kind of make distance from it. But this is a relaxing album. This is one that I'm glad I started my day off with. And hopefully he gets the emotional break that he needed after doing this. That he feels like this fully, truly closes up a chapter in his life that he said he can never return to, for lack of better words. Literally, he cannot. You cannot repeat. You cannot do over anything. But you want to have a good closing. And at some point, we'll get that message that it's time for him to enlist. And my prayer is that he comes back a renewed man after he serves his country and energized and flamed with passion, inflamed with passion to create more and do more. So hats off to you, RM, and hats off to you listeners for hanging in here this long with jangle sounds from the pup. Cars revving up, me trying to wake up. It's time to start my day. Bye, y'all.